Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to join me over in the Gospel of Luke. We'll be looking in the first chapter, beginning in verse 26. Again, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Most of you are familiar with the cartoon Calvin and Hobbes. Well, on one Mother's Day, Calvin was pictured standing by his mother's bed. "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card." "My, how sweet of you," she says. "I did it all by myself. Go ahead and read it." And she begins to read. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're pretty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day." There, I've said it. Now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son? Signed, Calvin. "I'm deeply moved," said his mother. "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" he asked. Well, some of you may feel like Calvin's mother this morning, wondering if anybody's going to say, "Thank you, Mom, for all the good stuff you do." You know, being a mother is a tough job, and we recognize and honor that today. One Mother's Day, a for better or worse comic strip, portrayed Michael's mother tossing and turning on her bed, thinking about her role as a mother and asking herself, "I'm too tough, or am I too lenient? Do I give in too much or too sudden? Do I listen to what he has to say? Do I understand him? Do I nag him too much? Am I really a good parent?" And then the last frame shows Michael lying on his bed saying, "The problem with grown-ups is they think they know it all." No, Michael, maybe not. In fact, mothers recognize all too well that as they send their children off in the morning, all kinds of things lie in wait to waylay them along the way. Things like drugs and gangs and alcohol and the temptation to have premarital sex, and they must be strong if they're going to overcome all of those temptations. We might say in our past, our educational system encouraged development of Christian principles and attitudes. But today, that's not necessarily true. Too often, children are being taught that there are no absolute standards of right and wrong. Anything goes, and everything is permissible as long as it just feels good. So it's difficult being a Christian mother today. But as hard as that may be, we need to realize that difficulties are not unique to our time. In every age, motherhood has had its share of difficulties. For example, let's look back at the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and consider some of the difficulties that she faced and apply them to our lives today. Yes, Mary faced many difficult times. First of all, she faced the difficulty of a tarnished reputation. Think about it. Mary was pregnant out of wedlock. Now, we know the rest of the story and that the child in her womb was of the Holy Spirit and is the Son of God, but do you think they believed that story in that little town of Nazareth? If you came from a small town or a close neighborhood, you know that juicy gossip is a hot item. And here's this unmarried teenager, a little girl, really, expecting a child. Oh, how the gossips must have enjoyed talking about that. In fact, 30 years later, give or take a few, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, his enemy said to him, and it's found over in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, verse 41, they said, "We were not born of fornication." In opposing him, they were above putting in what they thought was a knife and twisting it in his side. So on this Mother's Day, you may not feel too comfortable. Maybe there are some things in your past that you're not very proud of and you feel kind of guilty. Maybe there are dark skeletons in your closet and you feel unworthy as a mother. But just let me remind you, God not only forgives, but he also forgets. Encourage your children not to repeat any mistakes you may have made and help them realize that God is a God of mercy and grace. You have had a new beginning with him. So encourage them to live lives that are worthy of his love. But there's a second thought. You see, Mary also experienced the difficulty of poverty. The book of Philippians says that Jesus was rich and then he became poor for our sakes. I tend to think that we really don't realize just how poor Mary and Joseph were. We do remember that when Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby for the first time, Joseph and Mary offered two doves. That's the sacrifice of the very poorest in society. Are you poor? If you've experienced the pressure of trying to buy the things your children want, the right running shoes, the right designer clothes, and all of those other things that they may want very much, and then take the time to teach them that life does not consist of the abundance of things we possess. Teach them that there are other things much more important, eternal things we can't see that will last forever and ever. Jean Barron spent several years living in a little mobile home that was pretty dilapidated. She tells about raising her kids in that kind of environment. And then one day her son came home and announced that his best friend had run away from home. And Jean Barron said, "I looked at my child and I said, I don't understand. He lives in such a nice house and he seems to have everything any child could ever want. Why did he run away?" Said she was astounded at what her son answered. He said, "Well, in their home, they have a lot of environment, but not very much love. In our home, we have lots of love, but not very much environment." Our friends, love is free. Well, maybe it's not totally free, but it sure doesn't cost any money. It just costs time and attention and emotion. Thirdly, Mary faced the difficulty of people's hatred for her child, even at his birth. In Matthew 2, verse 13, it says that, "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" You see, my friends, when Jesus was born, evil was set in motion to do away with him, even as a baby. The same thing happens when a child is born today, for Satan sees that child as God's gift to you. A beautiful verse over in Psalms 127, verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Satan knows that the quickest way to destroy your family is to attack your child who doesn't have the maturity or the power to deal with him. Jesus said of Satan over in John 8:44, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." To protect your children in their vulnerable years, you may have to curtail the television or turn off the computer and the monitor that's being viewed in the living room or even in your child's bedroom. You may even have to shut them all off. You may have to go to school once in a while, talk to teachers and administrators about what your children are being taught and who are their friends and what are they doing. You're going to need to discipline them and train them to respect adults and authority and to grow up to be strong Christian men or women. One other thing Mary experienced was being a single mom. We don't know what happened to Joseph. Many scholars assume he must have died when Jesus was in his, maybe late teens or early 20s, for the last time he's mentioned was when Jesus was 12 years old and in the temple at Jerusalem. And after that trip, Joseph is never mentioned again, so Mary became a single mom, raising Jesus and their other children all by herself. I want to say to you single moms, our hats are off to you. Data says that there are over 9.5 million of you in the United States alone. You have to be both mom and dad to your kids. And when you get up early on Sunday morning and go through all the work of getting your children ready for church, that's double work for you, and we want you to know it doesn't go unnoticed. May God bless you and your children for what you are doing. Yes, Mary faced many difficulties in being a mom. She faced the difficulty of a tarnished reputation. She experienced the difficulty of poverty. She faced the difficulty of people's hatred for her child and even experienced the difficulty of being a single mom. But Mary also had resources, valuable resources. Her first resource was a strong commitment to doing God's will. Over in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And then a few verses down in verse 38, Mary answered, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. James Keller says, "Every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of new life. And when God places a child or children in your arms, his will for you is to bring them up in a home where they will know God and his word and Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord." Secondly, Mary had the resource of Jesus being an obedient child. Over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Mary had the wonderful blessing of a child who was obedient. And if any of those kids out there are listening to this, the best thing you can give your mom on Mother's Day is to be obedient. It's better than cards. It's better than flowers. It's better than chocolate. Just be a loving and obedient child. My friends, that's commanded in Scripture. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And Luke tells us that Jesus was obedient to them. I like the story about the little boy who came into where his mom was and announced that he had two pieces of candy. And she asked, "What are you going to do with them?" And he answered, "I'm going to eat them." Well, she thought this might be a great teaching opportunity, so she said to him, "Don't you think you ought to share the candy with your brother?" And he answered, "I don't have enough to share, so I'm going to eat them myself." Well, it was obvious that he needed to be taught about generosity, so she asked, "What do you think Jesus would do if he had two pieces?" He thought for a moment, and then he answered, "I think Jesus would make two more pieces of candy and give them to his brother." Well, maybe we don't always do the right thing, do we? But it would be great, wouldn't it, to have an obedient child. But we might also say that Mary had a supportive husband. Now again, we don't know that Joseph was with her past about 12 years, but maybe a few years longer before he died. However much time God allowed them to have together, it's obvious that Joseph was supportive of Mary. And the Bible says in Matthew 1:24, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife." So I've always imagined that Joseph was a very caring and a very supportive man in Mary's life, who was there for her whenever she needed him. And may I say to all the husbands and fathers listening to this sermon, the best thing you can give your wife, the mother of your children today, is not flowers and chocolates and cards, but to be supportive of her, to pray for her, to encourage her, and always be there for her. I love the cartoon that shows a mother in her home and her hair is in a disarray and kids are everywhere and the house is an absolute shamble. And then her husband comes home from work all neatly dressed in coat and tie and carrying his briefcase. And she takes one look at him and he looks at her with a big question mark on his face. And she tells him, "You come home every evening and ask what I do all day? Today I didn't do it. And here it is." Story is told of a husband who was not very attentive to his wife. And one day he just started feeling guilty about that. And he decided to change. So on his way home from work, he bought a box of candy and some flowers to surprise his wife. And he walks up to the door and he rings the doorbell and she opens it. And there he stands, candy in one hand, flowers in the other, singing, "I love you truly, truly, dear." And instantly she starts crying. Big old tears just gushing out of her eyes. And she sobs, "Oh, Harry, everything went wrong today. And we had a leak in the plumbing and the kids are terrible and the house is a wreck. And now you come home drunk." Well, I don't know about that. But maybe we need to be careful of how we show our support. Sometimes maybe you just need to slip into it a step at a time. Point being, we have to be a good, supportive husband. Finally, we might say that Mary had a close friend who encouraged her. Remember what it said in Luke 1:42? "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" If you remember the story, as Mary is expecting Jesus, she went with Elizabeth, an older woman who was also expecting a child, a miracle birth with her as well. And she was expecting John the Baptist. And they spent about 6 months together encouraging one another, talking to one another. Hebrews 3:13, it tells us to exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we become discouraged, it becomes easy for sin to harden us and the deceitfulness of sin to take over our lives. So we need to encourage the moms today and help them realize that they're doing a job that no one else can do. Mary was rewarded for her faithfulness as a mother. She was there to see Jesus resurrected from the dead. She was in the upper room when the 120 gathered to pray and the Holy Spirit came upon those 12 that started the church, and she lived to see other children accept Jesus as the Messiah and their Lord too. And the God who rewarded her has promised to reward us too. Folks, Mother's Day is kind of a mixed bag for me. always come to it with a bit of fear and trembling. I'm never sure exactly how to handle it because I know that there are all kinds of people who hear this message. And if you have experienced the death of your mother, this could be a day of mourning and grieving as you remember her and how much you miss her and how much you would like to talk to her. And if you're childish, you may feel empty and perhaps unfulfilled. And if you had a poor relationship with your mother, you may feel a bit of guilt and wish somehow you could undo all of that, and it may be too late. But here's the good news. We may have imperfect families here, but one day we'll have a perfect family in heaven. With God as our Father and Jesus our elder brother, we live in a perfect environment with all who have gone on before. So hang in there, mother. God's power is yours, and he will help you as you mother your children. God bless you on this very special day. If you're not a Christian, mom, dad, young people, whoever might be listening, we extend the invitation of Jesus, invite you to accept him as your Savior and Lord. He says, come to me through faith, through repentance of your sin, confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ by being baptized, immersed for the remission of your sins, rising to live that Christian life. May God bless you today. Amen.